Hey everyone, welcome to your podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Hey Mike, how you doing?
Good. All rested and relaxed and been back about a half a day and catching up.
Yeah, you were on vacation and you were out. We missed you, but the rest of the support team seemed to keep their head above water.
Yeah. I didn't have a big mess to clean up today, so that's good.
Yeah, it is good. So, but lots going on in the space while you're out. You missed the majority of the fun stuff with Apple. We, for those of you that have not created a new show in recent times, the submission system at Apple's Podcast Connect was having authentication issues, and folks weren't able to get in and actually submit new shows. So, as you can imagine, people were quite panicking to the point where they were looking for alternative ways to get on the system. But we'll talk about the ramifications of that here in a few minutes. But they've said they fixed the issues, and as of about, I think I got the message from them last night about like 6 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which was like 9 East West Coast, so I'm sure this morning people have been getting their show submitted over there.
Right. Yeah, I've seen now I've seen some tickets come in today. You know, where Apple's rejecting them for other reasons. So that's a whole nother ball of worms. But it seems like Apple is definitely upping their game as far as making sure everybody's playing by the rules or their rules. Yeah.
You know, and they've been warning about playing by the rules for some time, in that they don't want podcasters, I call it like keyword stuffing. They don't want the podcasters from changing, you know, putting something else in the author tag other than an author.
Right.
And they're being pretty hardcore on it, or the actual title. They want you to put a title. They don't want you to put, you know, make it so it's being utilized for SEO.
Yeah, I adjusted ours a little bit on this feed due to some of the things I've seen. So it used to say, "Your podcast by Blueberry" in the title. And right. I'm pretty sure they would have kicked us for by Blueberry.
Really?
In the title. So I took that out of the title, and then I put, you know, your name and my name in the author tag. So there's nothing searchable at Apple now, or will be once it updates, that says this has anything to do with Blueberry. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, so you think that they don't want that then? They even don't allow by Blueberry. That's
they don't want anything in the title other than the title. You know, an example I would use is like for one of my podcasts. If I, you know, Podcast Help Desk is the title of one of my podcasts. Okay, if I put Podcast Help Desk and then a pipe sign and then, you know, your number one resource for learning how to podcast, blah 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 blah, all this stuff in the title.
Yep,
they're gonna kick that for sure. But they were even being a little more picky than that. There was, I forget what the one was, but the guy said, you know, it was basically this show by, and then his name in the title.
Right.
And then his name in the author tag, and they kicked him for having his name in the title.
And they just don't kick. They delist you.
Yeah.
You know, they're not sending no warning, and you don't even know.
Right, and they send you an email eventually saying that this show's no longer in the directory. Please fix X, Y, or Z.
Yeah,
and or they don't even give you that much, and then you have to contact them, and then they tell you what the issue is. But it's you know, Apple's got a lot of oomph in the whole space, so I think a lot of shows are going to find they're going to be in trouble. Like I said, yeah. I don't know if the Buy Blueberry thing would have got us kicked, but I didn't want to chance it.
Yeah. So one thing that you can do is, you know, because the distribution is to multiple places in your, like you can set up your Google Play tags and, you know, the title can be manipulated across different systems. So you don't have to, worry about, you know, being as strict on some of these other sites. So that I think that's one of the things that's cool too. In this instance, that you can configure for iTunes specifically, then you can have a little longer title for your normal Google Play or the title that's obviously on your website.
Sure, and that's what you know. That's what I would do, like especially with PowerPress, because you've got all those extra things you can turn on in the episodes tab per episode or whatever. So, and then even the overall title of the show, I believe you can have it separate. The iTunes title tag can be different than the just plain old title tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have some specific instructions on how to do that in the show notes, in case you're interested.
So anyway, be careful out there with these tags, but they're not only doing that. There's been, this one was an interesting one because the customer claimed that they had not been manipulating the GUID tags, and it's a, for technical discussion, when you hit publish in WordPress, it assigns a GUID to that post. You're not ever supposed to change that GUID. That GUID for an RSS standpoint is supposed to stay exactly the same. But there are some plugins out there and just things that you can do that would cause that to change. As an example, you want to republish an episode that you published a year ago, so that it is back at the top of the stack where you delist or you depublish or unpublish the original article. Then you create a new post with a new date or even an old date. And then it basically cut and paste your show notes and then link the media file and hit publish. That produces a new GUID. Big no. Apple will not be appreciative of that.
Right. If you're going to do reruns like that, what you do is you change the file name and re-upload the file and just treat it like a new episode.
Yeah, absolutely. And because they delisted the show for the same thing. They were reorganizing GUID tags, causing trouble at Apple. Well, and they actually were told there was no getting out of the penalty box. They had to submit a new show with a new RSS feed. They were not allowed to recover that particular show. So what does that mean? Well, that means that the existing audience is subscribed to that show. And now you have two listings. Now, I told them to do a 301 redirect on the old feed to the new feed. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that fixes it. But it leaves some people hanging.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if manipulating the GUID tags is kind of another form of trying to bump up your stats. Because whenever the GUID tag changes, if I'm subscribed to your show, that new GUID comes in as a new episode and gets re-downloaded. And, if I've got my thing set up to download. So that could, artificially bump your statistics on a particular file.
So, again, they claimed, this group, and they were out of Israel, they claimed that they were not editing GUID tags. I went into their feed and looked at it, and to be honest with you, unless you see the before and after, there's really no way to tell. Mm-hmm. You just see a feed that looks like it's good. So they basically had to submit a new show, and that was the only way they could get back online. So it shows me that Apple is being more serious about their content curation and individuals that are, again, and I'm not saying the GUID folks were bad characters.
No.
But you could do this inadvertently and not know that this is causing the issue. So stay away from messing with those GUID tags. Yeah, here's something you can do. You can change the date of the article, but don't be mess or completely depublish and then republish as a new episode with a new, leave the old one and then leave a new, you know, a media file name, rename the media file.
Yeah, because a lot of the times in WordPress, that GUID is based on that media file.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's sometimes. I mean, you know, not always. It depends on, you know, the system you're using.
Right.
But, you know, that GUID can be based on that. And
yeah.
Once it's based on that, if you re-upload that exact same, or if you relink to that same media file with the same address and the same everything, that's where you get in trouble. You know, so you're better off if you're going to do a rerun like that, because that's what that would be. It'd be like, you know, you're rerunning an episode you did a year ago or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, change the file name, make a brand new post, treat it like a new episode. You don't want the show notes to be identical either, because, you know, then you get duplicate content in Google.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why I reason most people do a unpublish of the old episode and republish the new. But
sure.
I don't think it's a tactic that works really, really well.
No.
Thing to do is create more content.
Yeah, just get a new episode.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a topic here that's been making national headlines, and you all probably have heard about this, about the delisting or the removal of the Alex Jones InfoWars show from Apple Podcasts. They removed it. Facebook removed him. YouTube, I think they're in a Twitter suspension now. So what has really happened here is interesting. And the reason I bring it up is because the extremes are where we really see the true power of RSS or Real Simple Syndication. Alex Jones, whether you like him or not, I think that's the key word here, whether you like him or not, he is currently still online, and as a podcaster, you have to respect this because of one thing. He owns and controls his domain name, his domain slash feed on his own website. So had he been, as an example, hosting with any of our competitors, almost all of them, had he been hosting with any of our competitors and using their RSS feed, his show would be essentially off the air. It would be gone. He would have to be trying to recover in a way that would be much more difficult to climb out of. But because I'm not defending, but I'm saying because he owns his own domain slash feed, This ability to stay online is there because the gatekeepers have shut him down, but because he's got his own feed, he's still on the air. Now, Mike, you and I have realized the power of this for many, many, many years. And I think podcasters now are starting to just wake up a little bit to what could happen. Now, 99% of the content that's out there is never going to be targeted, but all it takes is one thing being said in a show, and the next thing you knew, you're on the national news.
Right. You know, and that's the thing with RSS, you know, with owning your own feed. Like, you know, I have MikeDell.com, and I have my feed over there for my silly little personal show I've been doing for 13 years. But I say stupid stuff, but I don't say stupid enough stuff to get Apple to kick me off, I hope. You know, right. That kind of thing. But, you know, even if Apple did take me off of their listing, you know, anybody that's subscribed even through Apple is still subscribed to my feed because they're subscribed directly to my website, not subscribed.
Most people don't.
Yeah, through a system.
Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
That people have missed the irony of that. Even if they were delisted from the directory, the subscribers are still good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't work for like YouTube because YouTube's its own thing. And SoundCloud, right. If you were on SoundCloud, that's its own thing. But, you know, for, you know, Apple, if you're subscribed on any of the podcatching apps on the phones, including Apple, you're subscribed directly to the website. Apple has nothing to do with it past that point.
So this is why. One of the many reasons why we have always continued to be proponents of control your stack, control your intellectual property, control your domain, control your feed. You know, that is, you know, and it and again, it's always the extremes that bring out the true value of that philosophy. And at the same point, something that I also realized, and we actually put a post up on it on powerpresspodcast.com. I hope everyone goes over and reads it. It talks about, well, we talk about this on the post, but one thing that I realized is because Apple delisted him from the directory, all the apps, about 95% of the apps that don't have their own database or don't have their own engine, his show, Alex Jones's show, was removed essentially from about 95% of the podcast apps because they get their master directory from Apple. These podcast apps are, from a backend standpoint, are relatively dumb. They make API calls to Apple to get the database listings.
But remember, you know, I just want to reiterate, just because he's no longer in the directories on all those apps, if you're subscribed, you still get it.
And he can still, people can still take the RSS feed on most apps and add the RSS feed manually within the app to be subscribed. Now, that's kind of going the old school way of doing things, but it is still possible. So I think this is where really we need to, where we need to recognize the true value here of controlling your brand, controlling your domain, controlling your RSS feed.
Yeah, and just to make sure, that doesn't mean that we're endorsing Alex Jones in any way.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that the technique that he's using is the way to do it if you want to make sure that the big guys can't take you down.
Yeah. Mike, you want to talk a little bit about why we don't submit shows to Apple? Matter of fact, during this evolution, which was kind of ironic here because Apple podcasters couldn't submit their own shows, new shows, with those that had new Apple IDs. They were the ones most largely stuck. Apple asked us not to submit their podcasts for them because they knew it was going to cause a nightmare mess afterwards. But you want to talk a little bit about why we don't submit shows for customers to Apple?
Yeah, back before Podcast Connect, you know, it didn't really matter who submitted your show. And then once Podcast Connect .apple.com came online, then it really did matter who submitted your show way back then. And it, you know, it's been kind of a problem all along getting shows moved from one Apple ID to another Apple ID. And the reason we don't want to submit shows for you, such as some other companies are doing, is that we don't want to own the show at Apple. And that's basically what it is. If Blueberry submitted your show for you, then you would not have access to Apple Podcasts Connect. You would have no access to whatever stats Apple might have over there. You know, it's not your show as far as Apple's concerned. So, you know, it's a lot cleaner if you do it yourself. I don't know. Does that cover it?
Yeah, I think so. But it, you know, the key here too is that it's painful. It's a multi-step process to transfer a show listing in Apple's ecosystem back to the rightful owner. And it's, you have to do stuff you have to put on your website, put in your feed. You have to show a proof of, you know, it's not an easy process. And they make it hard because they don't want someone coming in and hijacking someone else's listing.
And on top of that, you got to bug the Apple staff because it's a manual process for them. And they don't have a huge staff over there.
No. And so there are literally thousands of podcasters that are basically without the ability to look at their stats and log in and refresh their feed when Apple's being a little slow to update their show and they've got a critical episode out. That's all controlled by their hosting entity. And, I've had some very vocal opinions about this in the public forums, like Facebook and so forth, saying, this is bad. You should not be allowed to do this. And yet Apple continues to let them do it. It's really, I wish they would crack down and stop.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we've had customers ask us to do that, and we tell them we really can't.
Yeah, we resist at all cost. So I want to talk just a minute here. And this goes back to this whole mantra that we've been talking about today and controlling your feed and everything. One of the tenets, and there's really three tenets to that I feel are really important to podcasting. You know, you start podcasting, maybe you're doing it with a friend, and you're just hanging out and doing a show. Maybe you're not really looking for a lot of exposure and growth. But a lot of folks are. They're starting shows today that they want to build a big audience and get their word out and maybe build their business or, you know, whatever the goal of the show is and who you're trying to reach. There's really three things that you're trying to build. And it really is, number one, you're building exposure to your content. You're building exposure to yourself. You're building authority as you're doing a show and speaking on the topic that you are. You're building, you know, like Mike and I, you know, we've gotten exposure to you through this show. We are known in the podcasting space because we've been here so many years that we are an authority in podcasting. So exposure, authority, and engagement is really the three keys to what a lot of podcasters are doing today. They're building exposure, building authority, and building engagement to their content. And I go into a lot of detail on this when I was at Podcast Movement and did my session and how you can build exposure, authority, and engagement. But the number one thing around that is I keep going back. And again, we pushed this to the point of probably you're tired of hearing it, but how do you build exposure? How do you build authority? How do you build true engagement back to your brand if you're sitting on someone else's .com? If you're renting land somewhere, it's harder. It truly, truly is. So when you hear us continue to push this in a public forum and to talk about it here on the show, really, and Mike, do you think there's another keyword here that I'm missing? Is there something else I should add to this? But, you know, I've used these three words for a couple of years. Is there something I'm missing?
No, that covers it. As far as, you know, what you're building is, you know, those three things. And, you know, as we keep preaching and beating the dead horse and whatever, the more you own it, the more you get those things, because it's your brand, it's your, you know, place on the web. Even if you're a hobbyist, you know, how does it hurt you to have a brand out there? It doesn't, you know, and people will find you.
And some people are saying, well, that's old, you know, it's old school. You don't need to do that anymore. Well,
you don't,
I hate to say it,
need to. Yeah, I mean, you know, the word need really isn't there, but it's way better. You know, I always tell people, just don't promote anything you don't own.
Right. And with Google Podcasts in the scene right now, it's literally insane not to have your own website. I mean, you know, those that do are winning hands down on the SEO front. Just, you know, it's a no-brainer. It really, really is. Well, anyway, that was just, I just want to add that in there, but I think we can go into a few support topics. Some of the stuff is kind of reoccurring. It happens on a regular basis. And for those of you that are here, please be patient with us. But putting your podcast on hold, well, there's really no hold button in the podcasting space. We really can't do that. So if you're thinking about putting your podcast on hold, maybe downgrade to the lowest hosting plan. Yeah. If you're on a tier that's higher, and that way we can keep the content online for you. Any other thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, it's just, putting it on hold, you know, in the first place is probably not a good idea content-wise, but but yeah, with our hosting plans, you know, as long as you're on any size plan, we'll keep all your old stuff online. But the minute you cancel your hosting subscription, we have to take those files offline. You know, if we left everybody that left us, you know, if we left all their content online, we would have a boatload of content and people would be downloading it. We'd be paying for bandwidth and not getting anything in return for it. So, you know, just as a practical matter, you know, when you quit paying your phone bill, your phone stops working. Well, same idea.
I had to laugh, though. Someone wrote a blog post about how hosting is doesn't cost anything and how it should be free. And let me just, and maybe I shouldn't add this here, but I'm thinking to myself, in order to have podcast hosting, you have to have a podcasting company. In order to have a podcasting company, you have to have employees. You have to have employees who are doing dev work to make this all work. So if you are having, if you have a podcast hosting company, you've got salaries, you've got benefits, you've got rent for your space, you've got infrastructure for your servers, it, and all the incidental stuff that goes on. You've got electricity, you have... in most instances, a water sewer bill, you know, it just, it goes on and on. All this stuff that you have in order to make that upload slash download happen, that costs real dollars every month. And it goes, it's factored into the cost of podcast hosting. So when you're burning venture capital, of course, all that venture capital is being used to pay for salaries, infrastructure, paying for everything that goes into creating content. And of course, their hosting bill, it might be a fraction of their overall cost. I mean, it might be a fraction just because maybe they don't have no listeners too.
Yeah.
But at the same point, it's really disingenuous for companies out there to say that you shouldn't be paying for your podcast hosting. I think we're all adults here and understand the play. And we also have to understand that companies are trying to make a big name for themselves in a hurry in the space because they are, they have to, because they're on a runway. Their runway of money is going to run out and they have to get to a certain scale to be acquired, which then you don't know what the business model is going to do or figure out actually how to make money at scale, because that's the only way they're going to do it. If you think about it, and I think about all the podcasters that we work with, to cover our basic cost, we would, geez, on a monthly basis, how many millions of dollars of advertising we would have to do?
Yeah, it'd be ridiculous. And nobody would want to listen to any of the shows because we'd have to have an ad every 15 minutes.
Right. You know? So there are consequences to free. And I think that the key here is we continue to, you know, push the boundaries for you folks and provide you great tools and services. And I hope that you appreciate that because in all honesty, free doesn't keep the lights on.
Yeah. Free is a lousy business model and even venture capital runs out eventually.
So I just wanted to, you know, put that out there because I know some of you have gotten some emails from competitors of ours saying, hey, come on over. It's free. Just remember the grass is not always greener on the other side, especially if the grass doesn't get watered. Yep. And, you know, you're watering the yard here and helping us continue to do what we do and stay in business and improve the tools and do the bug fixes and update the applications. We appreciate your business in a very big way. As time goes on, maybe models will change. Who knows? But at this point, free has resulted in at least three companies going out of business. One that had $36 million in venture capital.
Venture.
And they run out of money. So they're gone in their history. So the free model has been tried multiple times and this model of trying to monetize has not worked. At the same time, just remember, if you want to get money for your show, there's this cool company called PayPal. They've got this great thing. It's called a donation link that you can put on your website. And that's the power of having your own website too. You can put your own donation link on your own website and not pay someone except for PayPal a percentage of your donations. And I highly encourage each and every one of you to put a donation link on your website and see if you can get some donations to help cover the small cost of your hosting bill. Mike, anything to add here?
Oh, no, that's that about covers it. Like I said, you know, just the bottom line is, you know, if you quit your hosting subscription at Blueberry, your files go offline. Now, if you have copies of those files, when you come back, we'll generally let you re-upload them. But there's no elegant way to put it on hold. And you might as well leave it out there if you're planning on coming back anyway, because you're going to gain listeners while you're on hiatus.
So, as I say in podcasting, there are no breaks in podcasting. If you're going to grow your show, there's no such thing as seasons. Season one ends on a Friday. Season two starts the following Monday.
Exactly.
You don't want to dump your audience off for 6 months as you go and do something else while they are listening to someone else and not coming back. So, you know, that's just my 2 cents worth. Anyway, we're going to wrap up here. I want to thank you for listening to This Is Your Podcast by Todd and Mike. Todd can be reached. I can be reached at todd@blueberry.com and Mike can be reached at mike@blueberry.com. And of course, you can send your comments to yourpodcast@blueberry.com for comments. Mike, thanks. Welcome back.
That's good to be back. And we'll catch you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.